A very good evening, and may I add my warm welcome to all of you this evening. My name's Andy, I'm on the staff team here at Cogs Church, and I'm also training to be a vicar. Now, like Simon, I love Christmas. I love all the decorations, I love the pretty lights, and as a bit of an extrovert, I also just love all the opportunities to go out and meet new people and socialise. The bit I'm not so keen on is the shopping. It's after spending hours on the internet and finally finding that ideal gift to get all the way to the checkout and then find they're not going to be able to deliver it until the 5th of January. You have to start again. Oh, it's so frustrating. I had a bit of a weird encounter in town as well recently. I was buying some Christmas wrapping paper from one of those stalls, and I was chatting to the owner about, you know, the Christmas and what it means, and I just found it a bit odd that he was really condemning Christmas because of such a waste of paper. And I just thought it was a bit ironic that, anyway. But the main reason I love Christmas is because I get to come to carol services. And every year when I come to a carol service, I'm remembered of one of the greatest days of my life. But Mark Twain said, "The two greatest days of your life are the day that you were born and the day you found out why." The two greatest days of your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why. Because 18 years ago, I went to a carol service, and for the very first time, I encountered the presence of God. I heard the good news of Jesus, and that changed my life forever. Now, the good news of Jesus was, it was a bit like mince pies for me. You might find this a bit weird, but bear with me. Who here likes mince pies, by the way? Can I see a show of hands of, wow, we have got a lot of mince pie lovers in here. Did you actually come for the carols, or is this just a filler before we go for the refreshments? Well, we better go and send the catering team some news that we need more mince pies in the oven, I think. So we've got the good news of Jesus here, okay? And we've got mince pies over here. And for me, well, yeah, I didn't really, you know, as a child, I didn't really get either of them. I didn't really understand them. Mince pies were always around, especially at Christmas time. And, you know, I went to Sunday school, heard about the good news of Jesus a bit more at Christmas time. But, you know, nobody explained them to me. And at that age, there were so many other wonderful things to eat, and there were so many more interesting things to do with my time. And I also completely misunderstood them. Because for mince pies, well, I thought there was sort of minced beef in them. putting mince meat inside a nice sweet pastry. It's like, ugh! And similarly, I went to church and I didn't really find anything very appetizing there either. It just looked dull and uninteresting and boring. And so I made a conscious choice that, you know, neither of these are really for me. But they just wouldn't go away. Every year someone would stick these mince pies under my nose again. And I'd get dragged along to church by my parents. Now, I wasn't offended. I didn't, you know, I could see that other people enjoyed them, but they were not for me. So I just said thanks, but no thanks. And then at last, somebody offered me some mince pies with brandy butter. Now, wow, I was blown away. For a man with a sweet tooth who enjoyed a drink, and, well, I am Scottish after all. You did pick up on that, didn't you? Yeah, just checking, I haven't lost my accent. Good. Brandy butter. I had died and gone to heaven. Finally, I understood the whole purpose of mince pies. And similarly, at this Christmas carol service, I encountered the presence of God and I heard the good news of Jesus for the first time. And then that was the day that I understood why I was here. So, it's my hope that this evening will be like a big dollop of brandy butter for all of you. Now, I think it's important to clear up one misunderstanding. A bit like mince pies having meat in them. Because, like many people, I thought Christianity was all about, you know, giving things up, stopping having fun. You're not allowed to do this. You mustn't say that. And if you do, you're just bad and you need to repent. And sadly, we've heard that message from other Christians that we've known, or maybe we've heard that message when we've come to church, a message of condemnation and requirements. And so I want to apologize if that's been your experience, and especially if you've heard that here, because that is a distortion of the truth. That is not good news. Jesus didn't come to wag his finger at us and tell us, you know, what we're doing wrong and say we should do this and shouldn't do that. So, a quick way of telling if you're actually hearing good news is, well, how am I responding to this good news? So how do you respond when you hear good news? Do you get out a bit of paper and start writing down all the things that you need to stop doing or start doing? No. Well, let's just watch this short video about how we respond when we do hear good news.
We write this letter for which you have been accepted to the...
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Hannah, you gotta see this. Look at this.
Come here.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll start from the beginning.
Plus everything. Okay, so...
You gotta be kidding me. It's great. Hey, come here. You gotta listen to the story.
I have something to show you.
We're gonna tell first.
We gotta tell him how this happened.
When we hear good news, we celebrate. We can't contain it to ourselves. We've got to go and tell other people because our lives have been changed forever. And this is the good news. The good news is that the God who created you and I and this whole world loves you. God loves you. And as we read earlier, He loves us so much that he was willing 2,000 years ago to come into this world in the form of his son, this baby Jesus. And the whole purpose of Jesus' life was to die for us, for all the things that we've done wrong or said or thought. And not just so that we can have eternal life, but so that we can have real, whole life, life to the full, right here. Not to wag his finger at us, but to help us and to put our lives right. Now, if that's not good enough news for you, then it's free as well. It's like the mince pies after the service. They're free. Now, unlike the mince pies, not all of you might like the mince pies, but the good news of Jesus is for everyone. No matter what our background, no matter what our age, no matter what our mental health is, or what state our family or our relationships are in, it is for all of us. He died to set us free from guilt and shame, to give us life. So how do we get this free gift? All that is required is for us to believe. Now, it's not just a rational decision. It's not like, for example, the chairs that we're sitting on. We might make a rational decision about, well, that chair looks safe. I'm going to put my trust in it. Because when we trust something, we put our whole selves into it. Okay? And so like a chair, we put our whole weight on it, trusting it. So, you might think, yeah, well, I know Christianity is true, and yeah, I believe in God. But, you know, do I really trust God? Am I willing to put my whole self into his hands? Am I willing to give my whole life to him? Now, before we put our entire self into something, most of us would probably check out with other people. You know, what's it like, you know? Can I, you know, give us a bit of an impression of what it's like for you? Now, unfortunately, in our society, it's a little bit awkward to talk about faith, and it's a bit personal. So what we did was last week, we just grabbed a few people from our community here at COGS. We put them in the spot. We didn't prepare them. And we just said, what has an encounter with God? How has that changed your life? And we gathered those clips together, and we've put it into this short video.
Well, I think the best one was at least 60 years ago when I asked Jesus into my life, and I was filled with a sort of holy joy and energy as a young teen, well, an older teenager. So I took every flight of steps, two at a time, and I was filled with the joy of the Lord, and that's been coming off and on ever since. Until just a couple of weeks ago, he made a surprise for me that absolutely filled me with pleasure and peace and thankfulness.
It has given me peace and rest and joy in the times of hardships and in times of peaceful times.
What difference has an encounter with the presence of God made to your life?
In 10 seconds, Vicar. It's made all the difference in the world. It's turned me from somebody who was deeply anxious about a lot of things into somebody who loves and enjoys the contentment and peace of God that influences the whole of my day and all of my work and sometimes my family.
I guess it's just something that brings a lot of joy and clarity. Really, encountering God is quite a special thing, so it kind of just reassures you that he's there, I guess.
Right. Encounter the presence of God, I would say... hope, huge hope. Hope when you feel like there is no hope. Change in situations you think will never change. And just a knowledge that there is something beyond what we have to face day to day.
I can truly say it has made all the difference in the world. I am prone to being anxious. I can sometimes feel insecure. And I know that the presence of Jesus has given me peace, security and confidence. It's changed my life.
Wonderful. So who doesn't want this life of greater joy, peace and hope, and where anxiety is turned into security and confidence? Please note, nobody's saying that this is an easier life, but it is a life that is transformed for the better. So picture a huge box wrapped in Christmas paper. It's got your name in the front of it, and it's filled with love and joy and peace. And it brings meaning and purpose to your life and will take away fear and anxiety. What a wonderful Christmas present that would make. So if you would like this free gift, you're very welcome to receive it. In a moment, I'm going to say a short prayer. And if you want to open your heart to Jesus as your Savior, and say this prayer, then I can assure you that you won't regret it ever. I've seen many lives changed, transformed for the better. Now, some of you might be encountering God's presence for the first time this evening. Others, You might have been on a journey for maybe several months or years, culminating in this point. But I want to encourage you to take that step now and to say this prayer as I pray it. Open your heart and receive this free gift. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came to earth to save me. Thank you for being willing to die on a cross and be punished for my wrongs. I am truly sorry. Please forgive me for what is past and give me a fresh start with you in charge. Please fill me with your Spirit to help me serve you for the rest of my life. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time this evening, I'd love to speak to you after the service. Do come to me or to Simon or one of the other team here. We'd love to pray for you and give you a book. So finally, as I prepared this talk, I was just thinking about the mince pies that we were serving afterwards, and it would have just been rude not to have served them without brandy butter. So I spent a few hours over the weekend making a huge big batch of brandy butter. So I look forward to enjoying some of that with you after the service. Enjoy a wonderful Christmas. Thank you.